Give you a quick update. Yeah, I've been living in Hong Kong for the past 20 years. My first 8 years, I hand carried Bibles to China, and then the past 12 years, I've been doing Sunday school ministry at two different international churches. One, I worked there for about 8 years, and there's the current one. I've been there for 2 years now. So, yeah, when I became a father, I just got this heart for children, and I joined the Sunday school ministry. And it's a good place to grow as a believer, a good place to learn how to teach Bible stories to children. It could be difficult because, they have a lot of energy, they like to jump around, they like to play, and just meeting them at their level is you got to prepare yourself, and you got to think, and you got to be ready just to, because you want to share this Bible story with them. You want to share Jesus with them in the midst of all this playing and jumping around. So preparation is important when you do children's ministry. So that's like one major thing I've learned over the past 10 years. So we are moving back August 19th. We'll come back to San Diego. San Diego is my hometown. I grew up in Golden Hills. Rode my bike all over the place. I think a lot of you know I was strung out on methamphetamines, and I would ride my bike all night from North Park to Sherman Heights to East San Diego and around here. So that was me. And I still remember when I found Caring Ministries, and there was a lady there running the meeting that night. She said, "I know you. You're the guy that rides his bike around all night." And I said, "Yeah, that's me." Well, I had found Jesus, or Jesus found me. I found Jesus, and I just got delivered from the methamphetamines. It was a complete miracle. When I received Christ, all those cravings went away. My daughter's been here for the past almost 2 years. She went to Kearney High School. Go Comets, George. Phoebe, you should be sitting with George. He's an alumni. She barely graduated, so but praise the Lord. He does use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. No, she passed, which she did quite well. So I'm very proud of her. Good job, Phoebe. Thank you. Emily was going to be here with me, but because of the immigrant visa only allows her to come. It's like a single entry, so we still need to go back and like clear out our house and do all that kind of stuff. So if she came, she'd be stuck here for 120 days until she gets the ID card or the green card. So yeah, applying for a immigrant visa for somebody is a good challenge. A lot of reading, a lot of applications being filled out. I just thank the Lord for giving me and Emily the mind and the patience to go through the process. It took at least 3 years. And it's doable. Like, we did it on our own, but I understand why people use like agencies and lawyers because of the amount of work it is. And last time I was here, we went through Nehemiah chapters 1 and 2. I've been reading Nehemiah. I like how practical Nehemiah is and how God used Nehemiah. I mean, he worked for the Persian king. He was placed in a position of authority. He was Jewish. His forefathers were from Jerusalem, and he had gotten word that the walls were broken down. And Nehemiah prayed. And I like the practicality of that, and how, all we need to do is pray and wait. And sometimes God puts practical things on our hearts to do, and we just pray about it and make some moves, and God begins to open the doors. Like with Nehemiah, he was given letters by the king. So on his journey, he was able to collect the supplies needed to rebuild the wall. And even he, like a home was prepared for him when he got there. So I kind of like that, you know, as I've been preparing to come back to San Diego, I know God has put it on my heart to do this. After serving in Hong Kong for 20 years, I just feel like it's time for me to come back. Hong Kong's been great to us. I love Hong Kong. I have a really cool job. I serve in Sunday school with kids. I'm provided for quite, I mean, it meets our needs. Our rent is low, not because Hong Kong's cheap. Hong Kong is the most expensive city in Asia that you could probably live in. My house is 700 square feet, and I pay about $1,000 US a month for rent, and it's on the outskirts of the city. It's like living in East County or Harbinson Canyon or something like that. But the good thing about Hong Kong is they have public transportation, so that's very helpful. And God just set us up with a place to live where they don't charge us a lot of rent. So I wanted to, when I was here teaching last time, I left with these 5 points just to kind of backtrack a little bit. And yeah, you can open your Bibles up to Nehemiah chapter 3. And I will probably read a lot of my notes to you, but you can follow along. So last time I mentioned how let's be people that can say, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Like, be a person that knows and understands who God is in their life personally and also in the world. Let's be people who stop like Nehemiah and pray to the God of heaven. Like, it's so important to know who we're praying to. I think so many times I take things into my own hands. Of course, planning is important and preparation is important, but also to be patient and to know that God is moving in the situation. It just might not work out the way you think it will, or the way your aunt or your uncle is telling you it will work out, or the advice they're giving you. Sometimes, especially in my situation, moving back to San Diego, my Hong Kong friends are telling me how expensive California is and how high the taxes are and how the cost of gas has gone up. And I know this, I understand this, they've told me, Phoebe tells me also. But I believe God has put something in my heart to do, and I've just been praying and seeking God and taking one step at a time. And I know God has a plan and a future for me and for my wife. And it's good in my situation to take time, because Emily's not from America. She's from the Philippines. And she understands the American culture. She spent 5 months here. She's had some introduction to it. But still, Hong Kong has been her home for half of her life. She went to Hong Kong when she was really young to be a domestic helper, and she's been there for like 25 years. So, let's know and understand that the hand of the Lord is on us, because that's one of Nehemiah's like famous verses where he says, "I know that the hand of the Lord is upon me." Amen. I love these simple verses where you read them and they just cause so much excitement and so much like trust in God and knowing God is real and true, and that he's with me and he's for me. And also, Nehemiah prospered in what God had put in his heart. And I just want to remind myself and you all as well that let's be people who know that it is the God of heaven who provides for us. To know that God is able to do more than we can ever ask or think, it's true. Nehemiah chapter 3, there's these 10 gates. And I think this is more of a spiritual insights and hopefully some reflection for all of us personally than a sermon with a few points or a topical message. As I read through chapter 3, you can see nothing about God in there. No miracles, no casting out demons, no walking on the water. It's without miracles. So I'm looking at these gates and thinking, what in the world does all this mean? I mean, why has it been left there? Apart from some historical notes and understanding what Nehemiah went through to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So I did like everybody does. I went on Google and I typed in the 10 gates of Jerusalem. And come to find out, there's a lot of scholars that have done this kind of spiritual insight on those 10 gates. And they're really cool, and I like them. And it helps me to remember some practical things in my life as a believer. The first gate is the sheep gate. And I believe that's within the first few sentences of Nehemiah chapter 3. And you can read while you listen. I probably won't spend a lot of time reading through my Bible. Sorry. But I do have verses to share with you guys. So, the sheep gate is the first gate that we're going to talk about. The sheep gate is one of the oldest gates in Jerusalem. It's called a sheep gate for practical reasons. This is where they would bring the animals in, and they would bring the sheep in. And back then, most of the time, those animals were used for sacrifices. So the sheep gate can remind us of living a sacrificial life. It also can remind us of what Jesus did on the cross for us, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. But also in our lives, we have to sacrifice things. I had to give up a great thing, drugs. So, and by the power of God, he helped me give it up because it was difficult. I wasn't giving it up. And I remember I was still smoking. I called myself a holy smoker. You know, I'd be out here on the corner with the other guys smoking cigarettes. But when I got baptized here at North Park, where you guys get baptized, like the craving just left. Like, I think Pastor Tony dunked me, and he said, "I know you're smoking," and he dunked me again. He said, "Are you going to quit smoking?" And he held me under longer and shook me. And he said it while I was under the water. "Are you?" And I just went like this, and he pulled me out, and I never smoked again. It didn't. Yeah, hallelujah. It didn't happen like that, but the craving just left me. It just was gone. And like I was like, is this really happening? I doubted a little bit. I said, is this really happening? I don't want a cigarette anymore. So I waited a few days to double check, and it was gone. So praise the Lord. So Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 9, because as I'm reading this and I'm praying, I like reading some verses and praying, and, you know, never mind the commentary. I mean, commentaries are great, and knowing the original is important, and but sometimes I just like to sit there, read some verses and pray and see how God is speaking to me. I'm a simple guy. I'm sort of like Pastor Steve. I went to the University of Oaxaca, Mexico, and I got a BSS, so I dropped out of high school, yeah, in the 11th grade, the worst time to drop out. But as I prayed and I was looking at the sheep gate, I got this Bible verse, John 10:9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture." And this is the most simplest but the most profound and important verses you could probably ever read, that Jesus is the way. The second gate is the fish gate. I think that's a few verses ahead. And the fish gate, if you think about it, and you think about Bible stories and fish, you're automatically going to think about who? Jesus, yeah. And the fishermen and the guys that caught fish. And oh, there's another story where the Jesus told the guy, go get the coin out of the fish. But Jesus told the disciples, you're not going to be fishermen. You're not going to fish for fish. You're going to be fishers of men. So the fish gate is a symbol of evangelism and outreach. Yeah. I thought this one was really cool. Spreading our faith. And back then, this is where they brought in all the fish, was through the fish gate. Very profound, right? So, but as Christians, we are called to be fishers of men. It's important. Yeah, amen. It's important that we share our faith with those around us. I mean, maybe we're not holding a Billy Graham crusade, but maybe the guy next to us at work needs Jesus, and we can start praying for him. And it's amazing what God does sometimes when you just pray for people. You don't necessarily got to go out and start, like, beating them in the head with your Bible or pasting Bible verses on his desk. You can literally pray for people, and the Spirit of God starts moving in their lives. I remember when we went to the School of Evangelism, before we would go out and do anything, we would pray. And they would have us write names of people that we wanted to share the Lord with. We would write their names down, and we would pray for these people so that God's Spirit would begin to move in their lives. Yeah. Then we would go hit them in the head with a Bible. So, here I come. So gathering is very important. So, I've already mentioned it, but let me read the verse to you guys. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:7. So if you think about it, maybe you have it's in your heart to share the Lord with people around you. It's not difficult. It's something you can do. And it starts with prayer. And it starts by allowing God to move through you. And I believe this thing that we do, fellowship as believers, works great with the people outside of our church. Being friends with people I've seen it do miraculous things. The church where I work at in Hong Kong, they actually employ non-believers, and they're getting saved. The accountants at the church I work at were not Christians. And the two ladies just recently received the Lord and got baptized. And even the facility, the guys that are cleaning the church building are not Christians, but two of them have already got saved. And then they moved on, so there's two new guys. So we're waiting and praying to see. And they just see us. They see us interacting. And some of them have just come and said, I want what you got. They find somebody that they have some fellowship, some relationship with, and they start asking questions. And then that person will start discipling them in a kind of organic, natural way. Go out, have lunch, go out, do some meet with them, start talking about having a faith in Christ. It's a beautiful thing, fellowship. And I think it's a mighty tool that we can use to reach out to those people around us. So the next gate is the old gate. And this old gate reminds us of traditions and things from the past. And we can, in our spiritual journey, we can learn from the things of the past and also from traditions. We have traditions at North Park. We do baptism. What else do we do? Yeah, we have home fellowships. That's been going since the church started. So those are traditions. So this gate serves as a bridge between the past and the present. It challenges us to think how ancient wisdom can still be relevant in our modern times. The old gate asks us to consider how we can apply old teachings in new ways to solve current problems to improve our lives today. And there's nothing better than God's wisdom and being filled with His Bible and His Word. I mean, you can read the Bible over and over and over, and it will be applicable to your life today. It's full of wisdom. Like, be angry, Felix, but don't sin. I know Felix really well, so. So this is what Proverbs 1 through 9 says. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And my Bible says knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, or daughter, Phoebe. Listen to your father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. Yeah, I think as I look back on my life and the instructions of my mother and father, and when I became a new believer and I read these kind of verses, it changed my relationship with my mom and my dad. Even though I'm from a broken home, my mom's over here, my dad's over here, my dad's this angry guy, you know, always upset and shouting at people and me and my sister. But when I read this, God gave me these like eyes to see that underneath all of this, He's trying to say something to me. So I took away all the shouting and the curse words, even though they're fun. And I thought, it made me love Him. Even though I was not understanding everything He said, it made me love Him. And it made me be able to be around Him and to sit with Him and have relationship with Him and have fellowship with Him. It's been an amazing thing. And after a few years of that, I was able to say, I love you and I forgive you. Even though He didn't say, Byron, can you forgive me? I screwed up. I still told Him because I could tell He's upset at Himself. And I said, Dad, I forgive you. And it gave me a sense of like release to where I can continue to grow in my walk with the Lord. And my mom was great. She was always caring for us and taking care of business. So I had no like past hurts or anything from my mother. Yeah. And I'm a mama's boy, so, and I love my mom. So the fourth gate is the valley gate. This reminds us of the lows in our life. Not the store where you go and buy stuff for your house. Is that still open? Okay. A lot of things are closed now, except for the taco shops, thank God. Because I wouldn't have came back here if those were closed. Shut down all the donut shops is fine with me. Jack in the Box, close it down. McDonald's. As long as one of those Birdos is open, I'm happy. I grew up on beans and rice. I still remember those commercials where the little dancing beans and rice would come out. So my mom was always buying that. But the lows in our lives. Sorry for the sarcasm. This valley gate is one of the gates that led out to a valley. Okay. Very profound information. This valley went out to the surrounding Jerusalem. Valleys are often seen as low points, both literally and figuratively. In the context of Jerusalem's gates, the valley gate symbolizes challenging times or low points that we encounter in our life. And I know a lot, I don't like low points, but I've learned, especially through the pandemic, I mean, that was a huge low. In Hong Kong, we had to wear a mask. In Hong Kong, we had to get vaccinated. The church I worked at told us we needed to get vaccinated. So that's how it was. Those were low points. But in that, I learned a lot about being obedient and being a team player. And I was doing children's ministry, and so what in the world do you do during a pandemic when nobody can come to church? I mean, kids are jumping around. I can only imagine what was happening in the homes. So the pastor, my supervisor, my pastor there in Hong Kong said, you need to do something, you know, or else. I mean, he gave me a challenge. And so I did something, and it wasn't pretty in the beginning, but we got some cameras, we got some Bible storytellers, you know, we set up this small production area, and it grew. That thing grew. I mean, it wasn't like a hit on YouTube or anything, but we did it for like 2 years. We did this recording thing, and we called it Children's Church Online. And I learned so much about planning and preparing, writing scripts. And we took the pastor's sermon, and we took a portion of the pastor's sermon, and he loved that. And it just gave me this all sense of being connected to the whole church. And God showed me the blessings behind being obedient, even though it was a low point in my life. I don't like being in front of the camera. I get really nervous. I know, like, in this situation, I'm very sarcastic, and I have a lot of humor, but I don't know, when the camera went on me, I would just freeze up. So I was able to get other people that were good in front of the camera. We had kids doing worship. We had parents telling Bible stories. We had some people that were doing all the editing for us. And I was so glad that even though I hated that in the beginning, that low point, I could see God's blessings behind it. And I just kept, it fueled me. It gave me fuel. So those low points in our lives, even though we don't like it, when we kind of dig through all the, when we dig through it all, we can see some blessings there. We can see areas where we can grow. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us to get out of the low. There's things we need to do and plan and work at to get out of it. Unfortunately, I mean, God does miracles, but sometimes we have to get involved. Nehemiah got involved. I mean, he packed up his stuff and went. He had to go talk to the king about him leaving. He had to ask for leave. So this is what I got as I prayed and read through these theological notes or whatever they are. Psalm 23, famous psalm that we're always reminded of. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my... Turn the page. What happened? Where is it? Oh, there it is. Of my enemies. That'd be funny if I skipped a page, but I just kept going. You guys would be like, where is he at? He's got jet lag. So, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is an amen, because that's all I want to do at this point when I'm 51, is dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, that's a good verse. The sixth gate is called the Fountain Gate, and this has to do with flow of living waters and renewal. This is a constant thing that we need to be doing in our lives. Sitting down before the Lord and praying, seeking Him, fellowship. And it doesn't have to be, I love just going out with a couple of guys, you know, and we talk about our life. And we end by, we hear our life struggles or praises that we have, praise reports that we have in our lives. And at the end, we just pray for each other. You know, we get that kind of fellowship there. It's not technically a Bible study. It's not a men's prayer meeting. It's just a few friends getting together and talking about life and seeing where each other are at and then praying for each other. So I did this the other day with a few of my friends that I met in School of Evangelism. And we're all having fun, joking, being sarcastic. And finally, one of the brothers said, it just came out. He said, I'm struggling with this. And he put it on the table. I was like, wow, this is serious. I mean, this isn't joking anymore. So I went ahead and I said, well, this is my stuff. My teenage daughter wants to go and buy shoes, and she doesn't know which mall to go to. And they're like, brother. And the other guys, you know, we all shared our stuff, and the moment got real, and we prayed for each other. I thought, this is perfect, because we didn't say, hey, brothers, let's have a Bible study. We're going to go through Genesis chapter 1, which is great. But having the real, like, fellowship was just so cool. So, the Fountain Gate, reading devotional books, you know, you can read the Bible. The Bible's the best, but there are great devotionals out there that give spiritual insight and help refresh us and replenish us. It's just a continual flowing of God's Word in our life. It's important. And also the fountain represents this continual flow of water going out too. So as believers, we should also be pouring out onto others. Each other, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each other, but also people around us that may not know Christ. I don't know if they do it in America, but in Hong Kong they do this thing called Alpha Course, where it's this kind of open invitation to invite non-believers, and it's like exploring the Christian faith. It's not evasive, and it's not in your face. And they just have these topics, but at the end of it, there's kind of a, do you want to make a decision for Christ? So I think it's important as believers, we're finding ways to reach out to those people around us in kind of this relationship way. And this is what Jesus commanded the disciples to do in Matthew 10:8. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Like I was delivered from alcohol, not alcoholism, but from drug addiction. And I'm able to talk to people that are in this situation. It's really easy for me because I understand them. And I hope that what God did for me can do for them. They can see that and they can experience that. I still remember my first few years when I was in Hong Kong, I'd come back to San Diego and I always end up at the auto parts store with Felix because his cars were broken down. And every time I went to the auto parts store, I'd bump into one of the guys from the neighborhood. And they're like, what are you doing? Like who are you now? Because I changed, you know? And I was able to witness to them and tell them this is what happened. And another time, I used to, sorry Phoebe, sell marijuana. But I stopped. But I forgot I had the goods. And I mean, it's legal now, right? But I had the goods in my drawer in my house. Like 3 a.m, there's this guy knocking on my door. Like, hey, do you got the stuff? I was like, oh my goodness, I forgot about this. And when I opened the door, he's like, I don't know, he noticed something different about me. He's like, what happened to you? And I said, I became a born-again believer. And he just left. He turned around and left. I was like, hey, I want to make some money. Come back. I said I'm a believer, but I'm not. Well, we are rich. We are rich in Christ. Sorry. Amen. The seventh gate. Oh, wait, where's the clock? Oh. We're going to stop there. So, because we have baptism and communion and all kinds of stuff going on today. If you want my notes, I can email them to you or send them to you. I can give you these papers. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can reflect on the simple things in the Bible, like gates, and we can just consider who you are inside these gates, the spiritual significance for our life. So, Father, yeah, we pray that we would be washed with your word, that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, that, God, that we would be conduits of your goodness to those people around us. Father, that you would prepare us to be evangelists and ministers to a lost and dying world, to a perverted generation. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.